From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of October, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenor will be here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. We'll tour the winter wheat growing regions of the nation and of the planet because they're all in something of the same boat, at least in the northern hemisphere where it's been very dry in those regions. We'll also take a look at the dryness in South America, Brazil in particular. They're still kind of waiting and chomping at the bit to get started planting, and that means their corn will be delayed for Safrina. That could have all kinds of implications across the board. And we'll also talk about a change in the weather here in the Midwest. We'll do that with Mike. And as we finish up our time together, we'll discuss the cash grain situation with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net in Windsor, Illinois. Shelby County has been moving along quickly with harvest there. We'll check to see how quickly, in fact, this afternoon on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn today up 7 1/4. It finished at 403 3/4. The March at 408, 5 1/2 higher. May up 4 1/4 at 409 1/4. And July at 409 1/4 up 3. Next year's December, a penny higher, 394 3/4 the settlement price. November beans at 1062 1/4, 6 higher. January up 4 3/4, $10.62 the settlement price. And the March at 1045 1/2 up 3. July down a penny at 1041, and November beans 2 1/2 lower at 973 1/2 for 2021. The bean oil futures 71 cents lower at 33.17. The bean meal up 8.50 at $372.10. Wheat futures soft red July 11 3/4 higher, 606 3/4 the settlement price. The hard red at 576 1/2 up 19 3/4. Live cattle futures are down 60 cents on the day at $107.77 for 100 pounds, and the feeders at 138.92 1/2 in their lead option October, 55 cents higher for the day. December lean hogs up $1.45 at $69.87 1/2. Dan Zwicker is now here from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
It's been choppy and volatile in the soybean market, though it's managed to stay up. And we're now more than halfway through harvest season. What do you see technically in that play marketplace?
Well, same old, same old. We are overbought, and the market did have a little setback here last week, but now we're trying to recover that. It may be kind of a struggle, but so far, so good. I don't have any sell signals in here. As far as the technical side of the market, we probably did reach a point last week on that high there on November beans that we had up there around 1079 or 1079 3/4, whatever. That was kind of a technical Fibonacci objective that kind of put the brakes on it. Then we had that sell off the following day, and now we're trying to recover. And if we can blow through that high, then we're, I think we'll quickly go to $11, and then we'll kind of go from there. But the technical indicators that I'm looking at, they were overbought. They're still kind of in that overbought category, but they've kind of worked themselves off to the point where the market can rally if it gets good news. So no trend lines have been broken. The trend continues to be, you know, kind of a higher, sideways to higher type thing. But you also got to be cautious as we go on, because at least most of the yields that I'm hearing, and this is by no means a real broad-based area, but everybody seems to be generally happy with their yields. I think there are some people that are disappointed, but I haven't heard any major complaints yet on yields. So it doesn't look like there's any kind of big yield adjustment maybe coming down the road from USDA. There could be some acreage adjustments yet, I think. But as far as yield goes, I haven't heard enough to say that we would see any big changes, but we'll find that out after we go through a grain stocks report, which that grain stocks report will be taken then on December 1st. And then that's why the January crop report can be a little volatile, is because then they can kind of back out of the number. They know what kind of stocks we had on September 1st, and then they can see what stocks we had on December 1st. And then they can kind of look at what the usage was during that time frame, and then they can kind of calculate what kind of production we had at that point. And then if they need to do acreage adjustments or if they need to do yield adjustments, they do it at that time. And that's why the January report can be volatile or show some surprises at times.
I know that producers have been told that they ought to be continuing to market the soybean. The soybeans that they're harvesting right across the scale. I'm not convinced, frankly, that they are. Do they really need to?
Well, everybody's in their own situation. I know a lot of farmers sold $9 beans, and those that sold $9 beans are probably wanting a little higher price to average up. But if you were one that stayed away from the sales side, up until now, this is a nice place to get started. Now, it's like everything. I do think farmers are selling some $10 beans because they pay bills. And like I said, some of the yields I've heard are coming in a little better than what they thought they were going to be, whether it's 10 bushels or 11 bushels or whatever better at $10, that's an extra $100 an acre that they got, and that helps pay bills. So I do think they're selling them, but I'm not sure that they're, you know, completely out of them. And it's kind of hard for me as a market analyst to store $10 soybeans coming out of the combine. Now, if I wanted to re-own them, and I would want to re-own a portion of my crop, if I did sell a large percentage of my crop, I would probably re-own them in a call option or something and see how the South American growing season goes. But that would be it. I think these kind of prices, what we're doing is we're going to bring acres into production. We're going to have larger U.S. acres unless a market would have a good dip, you know, into the spring that would maybe discourage that. And I think that's possible. Some of my cyclical work does indicate that soybeans, once they do put in their fall high here, fall high, late fall high, early winter high, whatever you want to call it, that we could go into a spring planting time low in soybeans. So then that would probably maybe discourage plantings. But that's the time frame that I want to re-own my 21 crop that I want to sell in here. I want to price not only a 20 crop, I want to price some 21 crop, and then I want to re-own that 21 crop on a spring or on a spring dip in prices, whether that's caused by South American harvest pressure or some other unknown fundamental that may come along, then I would want to re-own that rather than hoping and praying that prices would come back to these price levels. Let's put it that way. Have a good portion of that 21 crop priced, and then I would want to re-own that sometime, you know, on the spring dip, and then we'll see what the growing season of 2021 is all about. And that kind of goes with corn. New crop corn quite hasn't got to my number yet, and neither has really new crop November soybeans. But my cyclical work says I have until maybe the first half of September or first half of November to kind of be patient, go through the election, maybe up through Thanksgiving or up until Thanksgiving. But I do think you kind of want to have your stuff priced sometime here during the first half of November. And just in case we have a December break, we normally get a break during December going into the delivery period. We usually have a lot of country movement taking place in December. I would want to get something priced before we have that December break. And then going into the holidays, it gets very quiet. A lot of grain moves before the first of the year. So I'm patiently taking one day at a time. And like I said, I think I have up until the first week or two of November before I would get extremely nervous about wanting to hold on to inventory, especially if prices are at these levels or higher. And it would go for both the 2020 crop and the 21 crop. I do want to fall prices, fall rallies on the next year's crop has to, you have to have some downside price protection. Puts and calls are very expensive right at the moment. So probably maybe a cash forward sale would be the best. Futures market sometimes can be a little difficult to handle until you, especially if you're fighting a trend. When you sell it into an uptrend, the futures, the hedges can, margin calls can kind of get to you. But if you're selling into a downtrend, you usually got about 5 days to kind of bite your fingernails. And if you can get through that 5 days, then it's pretty much a slide on down and you don't have to worry about margin calls. But anytime you sell against a trend, your margin calls can get a little dicey at times. And nobody likes margin calls. Let's put it that way.
Indeed. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today, Dan.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Let's check in with T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenorin now to see what's in the forecast. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Great being here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I want to divide things up. Usually we go by region, but I think I want to go by crop because it seems the market is trading in that way. And in large part because the crops as a whole are running together, especially wheat, where it's dry in many of the regions of the world where this crop is now being sown for the hard red winter wheat. That would be the northern hemisphere. Can you start in the United States, the Plain States, and then pick up Ukraine and Russia for me too?
Well, that sounds like a great way to go about it because it's been way drier than normal in the U.S. plains for a while. This goes all the way back about 2 months, and the concerning thing is that there's not much rain in the forecast. And on top of that, it's going to be much colder than normal, especially across the northern half of the plains. In fact, we're going to see low temperatures in the tens in the Dakotas, Montana, and even much of Nebraska on Sunday and Monday mornings. A lot of the wheat in those states has not even emerged. So this is very unusual to see it this cold this early. It's even going to snow in a lot of those states at times over the next 7 to 10 days. No major snowstorms or anything like that, but there will be some rain mixed with some snow in those far northern wheat areas. In the key wheat areas from Kansas and Colorado to the south, most of the rains going forward are going to be to the east of the region. There will be a lot of wind in place as well because of the sharp temperature gradient that's developing. And we just don't think there's a whole lot of rain on the way. Yes, there will be some chances for rain about 7 days from now, maybe 8, 9, 10 days out even. But the best chances are going to be further to the east in the soft red winter wheat areas of the Corn Belt. So we just don't think there's a big change on the way. And historically, if you look at the type of La Nina that's developing, almost all of the Novembers that followed were drier than normal in the plains, and almost all of the winters were as well. So this very well may be the start of a long-term drought, and that's what the big concern is.
What are the broader concepts that you're watching in Ukraine and Russia as it relates to wheat?
Well, they're having a similar situation in Russia. It just hasn't been raining for the last couple of months, and the level of dryness is getting pretty impressive. Not only that, there's not much rain in the forecast. We'll see a system move through this weekend, and that will bring a decent event to the northern 15% of production. But that's only 15% of the crop. The other 85% is going to stay pretty dry, and this dryness also extends into eastern Ukraine. Once we get beyond this weekend, there's just not a whole lot out there. So that is also going to remain a story. The big difference, though, between what's happening in Russia and the United States is that Russia has been much warmer than normal and looks to stay warmer than normal going forward. So their cold season is holding off just a little bit, but time is running out. You can't expect it to stay very mild once we get into November.
Let's turn our attention to South America now. We'll switch crops, corn and soybeans, where dry conditions have persisted for longer than usual in parts of Brazil as they try to get a crop in the ground. Generally, they have to wait for monsoonal rains to begin. Do we see a change in their weather forecast or patterns anytime soon?
Well, it is going to start raining more as we move into the end of the month. But you need to keep in mind that the northern growing areas of Brazil typically have a distinct dry season and wet season, which is what you were just discussing. So we should be in the wet season by now. We should be seeing rains fairly regularly, and they become much, much heavier over the next 2 to 6 weeks. It hasn't started raining all that much in the area where we have a dry and a wet season. For everybody to the south in southern Brazil, in Paraguay, in Argentina, it pretty much rains year-round, and it doesn't maybe rain every single day, but it shouldn't be having any dry periods. So what we're seeing there is indicative of drought. The only thing that we need to mention is that it did rain a little bit in southern Brazil and Paraguay over the last 24 hours, so they saw a little bit of an improvement just over the last day or so. But as we move forward, we will see more rain, so that's the good news. The potentially bad news is that they should be getting a lot of rains right now. So even though we're thinking maybe 2 to 3 inches of rain is on the way for Brazil over the next couple of weeks, it's only about average. So we're not talking about anything that's going to eat away at those moisture deficits. Though in a large part of these growing regions, they just need it to rain every day. It doesn't really matter how dry it was a month or two ago like it does in the U.S. They just need it to rain. So there is some rain coming up. Things are going to be improving. And even Argentina will tap into some rainfall next week. So we'll have to wait and see a little bit more with regard to how this is all going to pan out. This is definitely a break in the drought conditions in the southern growing areas of Brazil and Paraguay and Argentina. But whether or not this is a part of a pattern change remains to be seen.
Here in the Corn Belt, it has been dry. Harvest has moved along quickly. Dry enough, in fact, that there have been field fires locally. That usually doesn't happen very often in our area. Although there's a little gray sky and some drizzle today, what do conditions look like for the next week or so for the Corn Belt?
Well, it's going to turn a lot wetter next week. So kind of more of the same here over the next 5 to 6 days with not much rain, but it will be a lot colder with a lot wider temperature variations of what we've seen. So that's kind of the next 5 to 6 days. After that, we're going to get into a wetter period. There's a lot of systems off to the west that are going to roll through, and that's primarily because of that cold air mass that we talked about in the Dakotas earlier in the broadcast. So we'll need to be keeping an eye on that. It will turn a lot wetter. That will probably slow down corn and soybean harvesting about a week from now, but it also will provide the soft red winter wheat crop with some needed rain. So you'll more than likely see a divergence where the soft red winter wheat crop is looking a little bit better from a soil moisture perspective, but hard red winter wheat still needs rain.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, always great being here, and we'll just talk next week and see how all this is panning out.
That's Mike Tenora. He's from T-Storm in Chicago, Illinois. Helped us take a look at the weather forecast. Matt Bennett is now here from Windsor, Illinois. He's out on the farm in Shelby County to help us manage what's happening in the cash grain market. How are things on the farm? Are you done with soybeans?
You know, we are done with soybeans, and to be honest, we're going to be done overall, I believe, tomorrow, if the cards fall right. So we're in a position where we don't have a heck of a lot left to do, and so we're in really good shape there.
You remember a time when you were done on the 16th day of October?
You know, it's happened a couple of times before, but typically, you know, it's later in the month or 1st of November before we usually can think too hard about, you know, being done with harvest. But, you know, we've been working ground as we've gone too. It's been nice because the weather's been nothing short of ideal. But it's been a little bit dry, of course. We're hearing about a lot of these fires. So we try to take every precaution that we can, for sure.
Corn harvest and soybean harvest are proceeding quickly across the nation. In fact, more than 60% of the soybeans have been harvested, and we rallied right through that process. Does that mean there are more upside potential for soybeans, or are we done in this marketplace?
You know, it's tough to say that we're done. You go in the overnight market here, and we saw the open there today. I mean, you know, there was some pressure. You saw both sides of the market, and then the bean market comes firing back. Obviously, the corn market kind of helped get its feet under it as far as soybeans were concerned. But to me, it looks like it's going to be heavily dependent on what's the weather going to be like in South America, first of all. Second of all, you know, what is China going to do as far as future purchases? Because if they back off significantly, there's no question that, you know, it's going to take a little bit of the shine off the market. Can we make new highs? I think that's a $1 million question for most folks. And, you know, I guess for a producer, we probably don't need to be worried about that so much. Where we've got really good yields, the best thing to do, I think, is to reward the market, you know, and then be in a position where you can take advantage if the market goes on up with some sort of a limited risk position.
That was for soybeans. What about for corn?
You know, I kind of like corn ownership, to be honest with you. I mean, we've been saying all along we want to put corn in the bin, give us some time. We feel like there's some adjustments the USDA can continue to make. I don't feel like they've got this export number near right yet. And I'm pretty sure that they adjusted feed and residual usage 100 million bushels lower at a time when I don't think that they needed to make that adjustment. I know supply had changed, and so typically you see demand change as well. But I think moving forward, you could see this balance sheet continue to tighten and Katie bar the door if we actually lower the yield next month.
Anything else before I let you go?
Just be safe. Just please be safe. This is a pretty scary deal, as dry as what it's been. I know everybody had a little bit of a shower, but we're just so dry right now. And so I know everybody's getting tired as well because most of us haven't had a break. So safety's got to be key moving forward.
Indeed it is. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Matt, you be safe too.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with agmarket.net, and he's right. You need to be safe out there. You know that during the harvest season, planting too, I'll tell you to shut the machine down. Listen to me, but fall asleep. That's fine. You can come back and listen to it later. It's up on the website at willag.org, or you can listen to it as a podcast. It's more important that you get the 8 hours of sleep, more important that you take 20 minutes in the afternoon to get yourself a little nap, because you're going to work late tonight. I know that's the case, so go ahead and make sure that you're up to speed. That'll keep the other things in line when you're running at full capacity. It's easier to keep track of things that are, well, a danger to you and to others, so make sure you do that. The other thing is you mask up, watch for the field fires, check the combine, get it all straightened out each and every day, a couple of times a day, to make sure that you don't spark something out there as well. Hey, thanks so much for listening. You be safe out there. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.